Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel. So commenting now on the 90th birthday of the Dalai Lama, attended by the Hollywood actor Richard Gere. Well, it hasn't been in a film for a long time, Richard Gere. But it was just today that people in the Indian town of Dharamsala were there. I was in Dharamsala my gap year, but I think the Dalai Lama was there, my sort of week in there. It doesn't just mean refuge or something in the Tibetan language. So he's a spiritual and political leader of Tibet. It's a bizarre system. It was a sort of an absolute monarchy. Tibet was annexed by China. Was it part of China? Was it a vassal state or something like that? Was it independent? It's debatable. Obviously, it's changed down the centuries. It's been independent. But, you know, they're a nation by many definitions. They definitely got their own language. I know a language doesn't make a nation. They don't need to have you know, a language. A nation doesn't have to have a language. Yet a language doesn't automatically make a nation. There's certainly a strong identity there, and many of them want independence. We know this because the Chinese with the Sun made such strenuous efforts to suffocate the Tibetan independence movement when China invaded them in the 1950s. And then the Dalai Lama fled over the Himalayas into India, where he's resided ever since. So he's a Buddhist leader. A lot of Han Chinese have moved into Tibet. A lot of the monks have been tortured and murdered and so on. So that's it. It's a very, very sad story of the cruelest sort of oppression. But even if you want Tibet independence, that doesn't mean you have to say you want the Dalai Lama to rule it or you want an absolute monarchy. And I don't want to have a rose-tinctured view of what Tibet was like before the communist takeover. There was still slavery in there and so on. So it was a very barren, mountainous area with yaks, supposedly the abominable snowman. Anyhow, so he's very unsteady on his sticks. The Dalai Lama had to be helped by two monks to walk along. He speaks flawless English, by the way, His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. What happens when the Dalai Lama dies? Various of these Buddhist monks go round and find a little boy. I think he's born after the death of the old one, who's got whatever, some sort of physical resemblance to the previous Dalai Lama. I can't remember how they magically intuit this is him. Okay, so that might be reincarnation, the old one. So there's obviously an interregnum where the old guy dies. It takes him sort of a while for the new one to be born, and then a while to be identified, and he's trained up for it. So that's this bizarre system how he became Dalai Lama, and it only goes back over about like 9 Dalai Lamas. So obviously they're chosen when they're about 3, and they die whatever old age usually. So it's been going for a few hundred years. Anyway, so he said that he could live for a further 40 years. He used to say he'd live to 110, now he's saying 130, but it doesn't look like it. He said he's a monk, nothing more, nothing less. And he's a bit inept in some of his interviews. I've seen him saying that he's a Marxist and so on. And I suppose as a political leader, he's got to have some sort of economic policy, but he's not controlled a centimeter of Tibet since the 1950s. Goodness. So when he dies, how are they going to choose the new one? Of course, he fled in 1959, seen the film Madame Kundun, when the Chinese invaders decided not to fight, but partly because they couldn't. And actually, I think the right decision, because you knew you're going to get defeated. People would be killed needlessly on both sides. It wouldn't change the outcome. The CIA was eager to bolster Tibetan guerrilla resistance in the 1950s and 60s. Don't know how much fighting there was in the end. But the People's Republic of China says when the current Dalai Lama dies, and you'll find another one will be chosen. And obviously they want a puppet. And they said that this must be pursuant to Chinese law and so on. And it would be subject to veto by Beijing. So it's all very, very sad. But India's kept him there, despite India sometimes attempting rapprochement with the People's Republic of China. Relations are cordial. You know, China claims some Indian sovereign territory. And in Pakistani-occupied Kashmir, the Pakistanis even gave a bit of it, Askai Chin, to the PRC. There are obviously many Indians now who are perspicacious enough to recognize that a real conciliation with India, sorry, with China, is just not possible. Now, he'd be a bit of a fly in the ointment if you wanted that. You might have to say you're going to have to move on. He's still got refugee status, as far as I know, never become an Indian citizen or anything like that. But some right on trendy Westerners with a weakness for Eastern con men are attracted to him. But I don't find it very impressive. I think it's horrendous what the Chinese government has done to Tibet. and Xinjiang, and related to the rest of China. And yes, there's been tremendous economic growth. I have to hand that to them, but that doesn't mean it's acceptable to use massive scale state terror, as indeed they have done. I mean, immigration by Han Chinese people into Tibet, I don't object to that in principle, but really should be to Tibet to determine its own immigration policy. I mean, if they wish to be part of the PRC and the PRC wants to accept them, fine. But so far as I know, they don't. Now, I know it's arguable that they were part of China at some points in history. So I know there is some sort of case that that Beijing could make for this. So as PRC has its foot on Tibet's throat, when the current Dalai Lama dies, no doubt they'll choose someone who's completely pliant, and they will just ventriloquize for him, and it has to be a him to say whatever they want to try and legitimize communist control of Tibet. It's very sad. So it's a huge area, very, very low population density. Why was China so keen to control it when it had really almost no economic resources? Partly, they say, because if China didn't control it, India would. And that's also the headwaters to various rivers like the Ganges. And that's just, more territory, but more air control of airspace and things like that. All right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallan790gmail.com. Goodbye.